Right. David, are you playing the drums today? You are, huh? All right. No cajon. All righty. Well, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. We've been going through the book of Ephesians. Remember, Ephesians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to Christians in the city of Ephesus, Ephesus being one of the major cities of the Roman Empire in the first century AD. And Paul wrote this letter in prison. He was in prison in Rome. And the theme of Ephesians is our new life in Christ. And we've been talking about this for a few months, so I hope it's not new to you. We've been talking, you know, Paul has been unpacking these amazing spiritual blessings that we have because of Jesus. This amazing power beyond comprehension that is available to you through Jesus Christ. That you didn't do anything to deserve it. We were dead. And yet by his grace, because of his great love and his mercy with which he loved us, not by works, but by his grace, it's a gift of God that no one can boast. God has saved us. And now we are part of a new community, the church local, but of course the church global. One new body. Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave, free, whoever you are, wherever you're from, we've been brought into one new community through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul has been expounding on all of these blessings. And in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, we get to the second half. Paul has been expounding on who we are because of Jesus. And now he's going to talk about what we should do in light of who we are, of all that God has done for us. This should be our response. And in verse 1 of chapter 4, remember the walk command. Paul says, "Therefore I command you, walk worthy of the calling to which you are called." Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. If you call yourself a Christian, then walk worthy of that calling. And Paul expounds on the unity that we have in Christ, that though we are so diverse, we're so different, yet we share one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope, one God and Father of all. We are united together as one. And yet, to each one of us, God has given spiritual gifts. And last week we talked about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given to us by God in order to minister to one another, whether it's through the words that we speak, the actions that we do, the ability given to us from God to serve one another, to build each other up in our faith, to love one another, to encourage one another so that we all grow. We grow in unity, united, closer together. We grow up closer to God. We grow out. We grow larger, bigger. We reach more people in our community. And it's all through what God does for us. And this morning, we're going to jump right in the middle of a sentence. I wasn't able last week to finish the sentence. It starts really in verse 11, and it continues through the end of verse 16. And so this morning, we're going to finish verses 14 through 16, and then we're going to go on. And again, in the middle of this sentence, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, and he's talking about their purpose. Their purpose, again, is to build us up so that we grow closer to one another, closer to God, that we grow outward in this world. And the title of my message this morning is New Calling, Out with the Old, In with the New. Amen? Paul is calling us out with the old life, that old life we used to live, where we lived for ourselves, where we tried to forget God. Just do our own thing. Paul says, put that off. Get rid of that. Out with the old. In with the new. What's the new? The new creature. The new creation. The new life we have. The new calling. The new identity that we have as Christians. Out with the old. In with the new. And in verses 14 through 16, Paul is going to talk about spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity and spiritual immaturity. First, in verse 14, out with the old. Let's get rid of the spiritual immaturity. In with the new. Let's walk in spiritual maturity. So let's read verses 14 through 16. It says, again, in the middle of the sentence, but so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. In verse 14, Paul is talking about spiritual immaturity, the spiritually immature person. And if you look at your study notes, you guys get study notes? I said in verse 14, there are three pictures, actually kind of like two and a half, but basically three pictures of the spiritual immature person. In verse 14, he says, let's not be children any longer. The picture of a spiritually mature person in verse 13 is an adult. The picture of a spiritually immature person in verse 14 is a child. What's the difference between adult and children? Well, a child is oftentimes very self-centered. A child can't really see the needs of others. They can't understand, see things through others' eyes. But they are often selfish. Paul says, let's get beyond the childish spirituality. There's so much self-centered spirituality in our modern society, isn't there? You know, as soon as I don't like something in our church, as soon as I don't feel like my needs are met, I'm going to go somewhere else, right? It's all about me, what I can get, right? Paul says, don't be a child any longer. Let's seek how we can serve others instead of always thinking about what I can get out of it. The second picture of a spiritually immature person in verse 14 is a storm. He says, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So it's the picture of someone being out in a storm in the middle of the sea. Anybody ever been stuck out at sea in the middle of a storm? Anyone? No? Okay, a couple people. I grew up at the beach, California, but I didn't go in a boat on the ocean. I went on my surfboard. So when it was stormy, I didn't go out. So I've actually never been in a boat in the middle of a storm, but I've seen a lot of storms. And, you know, for all of us who've seen storms, we know you don't want to be stuck out there, right? And Paul says that's what the immature person spiritually is like, up and down. You ever met somebody, one day they're at the mountaintop, they're like, man, I'm going to die for Jesus. I want the whole world to know about about Jesus Christ. And then the next day you talk to them and they're like, Do you still believe? You know, are you still saved? You know, do you still know Jesus? It's like up and down every day. And Paul says, let's go beyond the childishness. Let's go beyond the instability, up and down, and let's found our lives on the rock. Walk day in and day out in faith and confidence, God's love, His grace and His mercy. And then Paul talks about deceit, lies. He says, he actually says that the wind of the storm is doctrine, human cunning, craftiness, deceitful schemes. And so Paul is saying here that a spiritually immature person is someone who is easily deceived. Someone that might turn on the TV and hear some kind of weird preacher. Now, there's a lot of good preachers on TV, but some of them are a little bit off and start to be deceived. Or when someone knocks on your door and wants to present to you a scheme of doctrine, that you will be deceived by that false doctrine. Paul says, don't be immature spiritually. Don't be easily deceived by human cunning and schemes, lies and deceit. But rather, let us be mature. And look with me at verse 15, the way he defines maturity spiritually. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Paul defined spiritual immaturity as someone who is easily led astray by deceit, by false doctrine, lies. And he defines spiritual maturity, he says, speaking the truth in love. So Christian, are you walking in the truth? Are you growing in your knowledge of the truth? Or are you being deceived by lies? Are you growing in your knowledge of the truth? The Word of God is the truth. Amen? Are you growing in your knowledge of the truth? Are you recognizing, perceiving lies that you used to believe, whether about God, about yourself? Are you growing in being able to perceive truth from error, lies from the Word of God? And he says, growing up, we are to grow up. So grow up, right? Grow up, Christian. Don't be a child any longer. Grow up. What does it mean to grow spiritually? He says we grow up into him who is the head, into Christ. Remember what I said last week? What is the standard of spiritual maturity? Who is the standard? The measure of spiritual maturity. Who? Jesus Christ. The more like Jesus you are, the more spiritually mature you are. And so we are to grow up into him who is the head. We are to grow up. To grow up spiritually means that we become more and more like Jesus and his character. Not following after human cunning and deceit and schemes and lies, but growing in our knowledge of the truth of God and his word. And then Paul concludes with the image of the church as the body. And this is Paul's favorite image of the church. Paul's favorite illustration of church is the human body. And isn't it a great illustration? You know, our human body is one, right? I have one body, and yet my one body consists of all kinds of body parts, right? I've got fingers, I've got hands, I've got legs, I've got stomach, I've got, you know, mouth, ears, nose, eyes, all kinds of different body parts. And yet together, all of these different body parts consist of or comprise one body. And Paul says what? That's what the church is like, right? You know, all of us together are one church. And actually, all churches, true churches, who follow after the word of God, all together comprise one church. And yet, of course, we consist of all, you know, you look out in this room, all kinds of variety. People from different backgrounds. People that have different gifts, personalities, experiences, passions. And Paul says, you know, just as our human body, each part of our human body, our fingers, our hands, they pick things up, they touch things, they work, right? Our feet take us places, right? My stomach digests my food, sends the nutrients to my body, my heart pumps blood, my eyes see, you understand what I'm saying. Every single part of my body has a function, has a role. And as all the parts of my body work together, what happens to the body? It's healthy and it grows. And Paul says that's exactly what the church is like. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We need you. That's what we talked about last week. So part of spiritual maturity means serving in the church according to your gifting. Whether or not you understand it, whether or not you believe it or know it, you have gifts. Amen? Whether or not you know what that role is, you have a role. You have a purpose to play in this church. And as each one of us serves, does our part, the whole body grows closer to God and grows out in this world larger. And so the question for you and for me is, are we spiritually immature or mature? And I don't know about you, but I guess my answer is both, right? I see both in my life. And I guess the question is, are you growing in maturity? Wherever you are on your journey, are you growing more spiritually mature? Or are you allowing yourself to fade away? Where are you at in your faith in Jesus Christ this morning? Specifically, are you growing in your knowledge of the truth, God's word? Or are you being deceived by lies? You know, when I drive from home to church, I see all kinds of these new age, you know, healing places, right? With crystals and transcendental meditation and, you know, yoga and, you know, all kinds of these, you know, tarot cards and palm readers and psychics and, you know, all kinds of these things. And the average person thinks nothing of it. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to think, right? The devil would have you think, that's harmless. There's nothing to it. Is that true? Is that true? That's not true. Those things can have a power over your life. Don't be easily deceived. But grow in your knowledge of the truth. Renounce those things and grow in your knowledge of the truth of God's word. Are you becoming more like Christ or are you becoming more like this world? Where are you growing? More spiritually mature? Or are you allowing the world to pull you down and make you more like this world? And are you a member of this body? Not just on paper. But are you serving like a body part in the human body? Are you serving in this church, doing your part? We need you as we all serve one another in love. We grow in, we grow closer to one another. We grow up, we grow closer to God. We grow out, we grow larger. We reach more people. We need you. We all need to be serving, doing our part. That makes the body grow in love. Well, let's look at the second half of our text this morning. And as I said, verses 14 through 16 are the end of a sentence, the end of the first section, the first half of chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. And verse 17 is the beginning of the second half of chapter 4. And once again, Paul begins with a walk command, the command to walk. Ephesians 4, verse 17 says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do." The word Gentiles literally means nations. And we said before, when Paul uses the word walk, he's not talking about, you know, the way we walk. What's he talking about? Our behavior, our lifestyle. So Paul's command here is, guys, don't live like everybody else. And that makes a lot of sense, right? In light of all the things that Paul has been telling us, all these blessings that we have, we've been saved, we've been forgiven, there's no more condemnation, we have God's Holy Spirit, we have eternal life, we have this immeasurably great power of Christ available towards us. We are saved by grace through faith, and God is revealing the riches of His grace upon us new every day. We are part of this new community. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer aliens, but we've become part of God's family. We are citizens of His kingdom, and God is pouring out the fullness of His love and His grace upon us. In light of all these things, we have spiritual gifts. God has given us abilities to minister to one another. In light of all these things, Paul says, now, don't live like everyone else. That makes sense, right? If we really understand all that we are, all that we've been given in Christ, yeah, there should be a difference between you and everyone else. Don't walk like the Gentiles do. And so, out with the old. That's the title of this first section, verses 17 to 19, a Christless life. In Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, Paul gives a description of the way the Gentiles walk. He says, don't walk like the Gentiles walk. Don't live like everyone else. And then in verses 17 to 19, he gives us a description of the life apart from Christ. The life that we live when we reject God. That's why I've titled this, Out with the Old. Let's get rid of the Christless life. Let's not live like those who have no hope any longer. Let's read Paul's description, verses 17 through 19. This is the Christless life, the life apart from God. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." Again, Paul describes here the life apart from Christ, when someone chooses to reject God, the way that they live. And if you notice here in this description, where does Paul begin? With the outward behavior or the inward, the heart? Where does he begin? The inward, right? And almost all of this description, Paul is not focusing on the outward behavior. It's only the end of this description that Paul mentions our behavior. But the majority of this description is the heart, the mind, the understanding. And that's important. You know, it's also interesting because when Paul switches, later on in the text, Paul is going to switch. And instead of talking about the Christless person, he's going to talk about the Christ-filled person. Our lives as Christians. And again, he's going to start with the inward, our heart, our mind, our understanding, and then he's going to talk about our behavior. Change comes from the inside out, not the outside in. Amen? You believe that? If you want to change the way you live, if you want to change your behavior, does it start with changing your behavior? Where does it start? You've got to change first what? Change your mind. Change your heart. The inward person. You've got to be changed inwardly. And that change, inward change, works itself out in our outward behavior. It's the same thing for someone who decides to reject God inwardly. It begins in the heart, and eventually it works itself out in their behavior. Paul begins by talking about the mind of the unbeliever. He talks about the futility of their minds being darkened in their understanding. Futility. How many of you can testify to the fact that life without God is futile? This word futility means, it comes from the word empty. How many of you have experienced the emptiness of life without God? Amen. We know that. We know that truth. You know, this word futility is the same word used in Ecclesiastes. If you've ever read Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the Old Testament, how does it begin? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It's the same word used here. Futility. Nothing. Emptiness. And so many of you in this room, you raise your hands. You know, when you decide to reject God, life just becomes futile. It's empty. It's meaningless. Paul says the other aspect of our minds, our understanding, apart from Christ, we are darkened. The Bible says that God is what? Darkness? No, God is light. In him is no darkness. The person who rejects God rejects the light and therefore chooses to live in darkness. You know, it's interesting because in Romans chapter 1, Paul also describes in Romans 1, he describes the Christless life, the life apart from God. And he also mentions these two aspects of a life without God. In Romans 1:21, he says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became what? Futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Futility, darkness. That's what those who choose to reject God. You know, it's interesting because Paul says they knew God, and people in the world, they know that there's a God, don't they? Even though outwardly they may tell you, "I don't believe in him," but they know there is a God, but they've just chosen to reject him. And therefore God says, okay, life, your life will become empty. Your life will become meaningless. And you're choosing to reject the light, you're going to walk in the darkness. The third thing Paul talks about after talking about their mind, their understanding, he talks about their relationship with God. In verse 18, he says, "They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." When you choose to reject God out of your life, then you reject the light. And God is not only light, but he is life. And when you choose to reject God, you reject life. And that's why Paul says, these people, if you choose to reject God in your life, you have alienated yourself, separated yourself from life, the light of life. And therefore you become ignorant, you become foolish. You know, I love the word of Jesus. Oh, do I have it? I don't know if I've got it. Nope. Oh well, I'll read it. In John 8:12. That was a mistake. John 8:12. I love that verse. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Isn't that a great scripture? Jesus is the light of the world. If you reject God, the light, you walk in darkness. But if you receive Jesus into your life, not only do you receive the light, but you receive the light of life, the light that gives life. Life apart from God is empty. It's death. You live, but you're like dead while you're walking, like a zombie. But to choose to receive God is to receive the light and to receive his life. And it's interesting, I quote Romans 1:22 here, along with verse 21, because Paul also says in verse 22, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools." You know, the Bible says that the fool, it's the fool that says in their heart, "There is no God." And there's a lot of very intelligent people out there, but when you choose to reject God, even your wisdom is turned to foolishness. Amen? Even your knowledge is turned to misunderstanding. Nothing makes sense apart from God. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And then Paul describes the heart of the unbeliever. The heart of the unbeliever. In verse 18 and 19, he says, "Alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous." They become callous. A hard heart. If you've ever read the Old Testament, what did the prophets always say to Israel? "You stiff-necked people, hard-hearted. You won't turn to God. You won't believe in him. You won't soften your heart towards God's voice and believe in him. You harden your heart against him." And Paul, speaking here of the person who rejects God, says they have a hard heart and they are becoming callous. Now, how many of you have had a callus before? Anyone have a callus? If you ask Scott about his fingers, tell Scott to show you his fingers. How many of you play guitar? If you learn how to play guitar, I guess any stringed instrument, what happens to your fingers? They become callous. You know, when I first learned guitar, man, my fingers ached. They hurt so bad, gripping those strings. But what happens over time? Your fingers develop a callus so that it doesn't hurt any longer. And if you look at any guitar player's fingers, they're hard. There's a callus there. And Paul is saying that's what your heart is like. If you reject God, if you disobey the Lord, your heart becomes hard. Your heart becomes callous. You know, I would like to warn you in love, if you're here and you're hardening your heart against the Lord, be careful. Are you on an upward trajectory to the Lord? Or are you on a downward trajectory path? Let's just use the word path. A downward path away from the Lord. When you choose to harden your heart against the Lord, your heart grows callous towards the pricks of God, of your conscience. You know what I'm talking about? You know, someone, when you choose to disobey the Lord, at first it hurts. And you feel it. You feel the pain. And you know it's wrong. But what happens over time? You just keep on choosing to reject God and do what you want. You become callous, don't you? And you don't even think about it. You don't even feel guilty about it anymore because your heart has grown hard, has grown callous. And if your heart is hard this morning, you know, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, then you need to turn. You need to believe in Him. But do you know that it's possible for us as Christians, as believers, as God's people, to have hard hearts, right? I mean, all of the prophets' warnings in the Old Testament, they were to God's people, right? They weren't to the unbelievers. They were to God's people. Stop hardening your heart. It's easy for us at one point in our life to be on fire for the Lord, get saved, get baptized, but over time we begin to harden our heart and it grows callous. If that's you, turn today. Amen. Stop hardening your heart. Soften your heart. Don't allow that callous to grow. Stop resisting the pricks of God's Spirit against your conscience. Turn and follow after Him. Finally, Paul talks about the lifestyle. And he says they are, because of their hardness of heart, their callousness, they've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And so again, our behavior is results from our thinking, our mind, our heart. It's not the other way around. Because people have chosen to reject God, their hearts are darkened. They become ignorant. Their wisdom has turned to foolishness. Their lives have become futile, meaningless, empty. They've hardened their hearts against God. They become callous, and then they just give themselves up. Why not? Why not just indulge? The word here, sensuality, is a word used for sexual sin. The Bible's standard has always been that God designed sex as a good thing between one man and one woman in marriage. It wasn't a popular message 2,000 years ago, and it's not a popular message today. It wasn't politically correct in the Greco-Roman world. It's not politically correct today. But Rome is dead and gone, and the church is still here. Amen? So I'm going to stick with the Word of God. Sensuality. As we harden our hearts, we practice sexual immorality. Sex is designed between one man and one woman in marriage, and not outside of it. And if you are in sexual sin, God has not rejected you. He still loves you, but you need to repent. You need to agree, confess, and walk with Him. Obey Him. And, of course, that's not the only sin, right? He says greed to practice every kind of impurity. So it's not just sexual sin. It's all manner of impurity. That when we decide to turn our backs from God, we give ourselves up to live in the sin of this world. So my question for you is, how is your walk? How is your life? Is there any difference between your lifestyle and someone else who does not profess, does not claim to be a Christian? When you go to work, can your coworkers point to you and say, oh yeah, that guy's different. Oh yeah, that lady, yeah, she's a Christian. She's different than us. Or do you blend in just like everyone else? If you said, hey, did you know I'm a Christian? They'd be like, what? Really? You? Wow, what a surprise. That's not good, right? We should stick out. We should be different. Paul says, don't walk any longer like the Gentiles. Don't live like everybody else. What characteristics of this person described here can you identify with, especially in your past? Perhaps you're sitting here thinking, man, that's a description of me, at least the way I used to be. Are there any aspects of Paul's description here of the unbeliever, the Christless life, that match you today, as I talked about, having a hard heart, even as a believer, even as a follower of Jesus? What do you need to change? What do you need to repent of, turn from today? Soften your heart. Don't sin, sexual sin or any other kind of sin. Change, turn, be different. And let's move on. Let's talk about the new person. Out with the old, the Christless life. In with the new, a Christ-filled life. I love verse 20. Paul says in verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Amen? Can I get an amen? Yeah. That is not the way you learned Christ. Is that true? This is the way that the world lives, but that's not the way you learned Christ. I love how Paul says, that's not the way you learned. He doesn't say that's not the way you learned Christianity, but that's not the way you learned Christ, a person. You know what I love about Christianity? You know what's different? The difference between Christianity and other religions? In other religions, you study a teacher, you study a guru who's dead, most likely, and you try to understand his or her teachings and try to live according to their teachings. Is that the way Christianity is? Christianity is different. Why? Because of who? Because of Jesus. Is Jesus dead? He's alive. You see, Christianity is not just about a philosophy. It's about a person. Amen? Amen. Christianity is not just about principles to understand and to to practice. It's about a relationship with a living person. Paul says, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Christianity is not just about learning truth, but it's about allowing Jesus to fill us and to live in us and through us, and that his righteousness, his holiness would be expressed through us. Isn't that awesome? It's not just a philosophy or teaching. It's about a person, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul says, that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. When Paul says, I assume that you've heard about him, he's saying, I'm assuming that you've heard the gospel. The Bible teaches us that when you hear the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, and you believe, then you are saved. But Paul doesn't stop there, right? I assume that not only have you heard about him, but you have been taught in him. And so we know, that's why we're sitting here, aren't we? Part of the reason why we're here worshiping is it's not just about getting saved, it's not just about hearing and believing, but it's about being taught day in and day out, growing in the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. And now in verses 22 through 24, and I only have a few minutes left, and so I'm going to talk about verses 22 to 24 this week and next week. And I'm glad because it's very important. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 is an extremely important teaching in the book of Ephesians. In three verses, Paul gives us three commands. And this is the how of Paul's command not to live like the Gentiles. Paul says to us, don't live like everyone else. And we say, amen, yes, God, I don't want to live like everyone else. But how? How do I do that, God? How can I be different? Tell me how. Here's how, verse 22 through 24. Three commands. He says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And the third command, verse 24, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Three commands. What's the number one? Verse 22. Put what? Put off the old self. That's the first one. The second one is verse 23. Be renewed in your mind. And the third command is put on the new self. So you ask, okay, God, I know, I really desire to be different. I want to live in a way that pleases you, God. So often, I don't have the power. I can't do that. How? How? This is the teaching. Paul says, put off the old. Put off the old self, the old person. The Christless, the person we just talked about, who rejected God. Be renewed in your mind, in your thinking, and put on the new person. Put on the new creation, created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, these words put off and put on are used for clothing. The literal meaning is clothing. To put off means to take off your clothing. To put on means to put on your clothing. That's what these words are literally used for. And so Paul is painting a picture here. He's saying, if you and I want to live different, want to live the life the way God has called us to live, we need to take off, just as you take off your pajamas. How many of you go to work in your pajamas? Anybody? Anybody work in their pajamas? Maybe you work from home? Okay. No, I don't work in my pajamas. But, it, you know, every morning when we wake up, what do? We take off our pajamas. Why? Because our pajamas weren't designed for work, right? To help us through the day. We take off our pajamas, put off our pajamas, and we put on the clothing for the day, right? Our work clothes to help us to work. And Paul says that's what we need to do as Christians. Every day we need to make that decision to put off, take off the old person, that old self, where you rejected God, where you lived for yourself, where you did what you wanted to do, where you didn't worry about God. Put that off. Take that off. That's not you anymore. And put on the new person. Put on the new creature created in Christ Jesus. You know, in the early church, you know how they did baptisms in the early church? I don't know if the apostles did it this way, but we know from at least about the 2nd or 3rd century A.D., actually, there's frescoes, there's paintings in ancient churches. You know how they baptized people? Anyone? They baptized people naked. If you look at ancient frescoes of baptisms, the person in the water is naked. Now, it wasn't a peep show. They had separate baptismal chambers for men and women, okay? The men baptized the men and the women baptized the women. And I don't know if they were stark naked or if, you know, they had a loincloth on or underwear or something. But that's the way that they did baptisms. You were baptized as a man or a woman, naked or in your underwear. And when you came up out of the water, they would put on a robe. They would put a white robe on you. What do you think that is symbolic of? What do you think that ritual is a reminder of? Exactly what Paul is teaching here. You have put off the old person. You've taken that clothing. You've taken that lifestyle off. It's dead. It's gone. You've put on a new. You are now clothed in the righteousness and the holiness of Christ. You are a new person. And that's what the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. If you haven't memorized 2 Corinthians 5:17, please do that. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. Or the way I memorize it is, everything is new. And in Romans 6:4, Paul, speaking of baptism, says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Amen. So that's the Christian teaching. That our old self is dead and gone. It's past. And our new self, through faith in Christ, we are new creatures. And so the application for you and for me is, are you making that decision? Well, first of all, have you made a decision? Are you saved? Have you made a decision that you are going to believe in Christ, that you are going to put off the old, to no longer be that old person you once were, but to now walk in the newness of life which Christ has given to you? Have you made that decision? And then my next question for you and for me is, because as I look around in this room, most of us have made that decision. Are you making that decision? Jesus says, whoever wants to follow me, let him take up his cross daily and follow after me. And so my question for you and for me is, are we daily making that decision to put off the old self, the old life, to put on the new? I'd like to conclude this morning. This morning we've talked about Ephesians chapter 4. Out with the old, in with the new. Paul talked about the need for us to no longer be spiritually immature. Out with the old spiritual immaturity, the childishness, the instability, the following after deceit and lies. And he says instead, in with the new, we are to speak the truth in love, follow after the truth, grow up into Christ, grow in Christ's likeness. Don't be led astray by deceit. And serve as a member of the body of Christ. Each of us has a purpose, has a role, has a gift. Serve and help to build up. So my question for you and for me this morning is, are we growing? I know that none of us, not even myself, especially not myself, have reached some kind of plateau of spiritual maturity, okay? But my question is, what kind of path, or that word I can't pronounce correctly, trajectory, are you on? An upward trajectory, an upward path, growing in your knowledge of Christ, renouncing the errors and former deceit that you walked in, the lies that you used to believe, growing, becoming more like Christ. Or are you being conformed to this world, becoming more like the world? Secondly, we looked at this important command. Paul says in verse 17, don't walk like the Gentiles. Don't live like everyone else in light of all that God has done for you. This new calling, this new identity, this new community that you have, all the things God has given to you. Don't live like everyone else. And, you know, we talked about Paul's description of our lives without Christ, when we rejected God. Our life became empty. We were darkened, separated from God's life. Our wisdom turned to foolishness, and our hearts were hard and calloused, and we began to walk in sin, all manner of sin. But Paul says, this is not the way you've learned Christ. And Paul talks about three things we need to do as Christians to change, to not be like the world. Put off the old self, be renewed in your mind, and put on the new. And so the question for you and for me, first of all, have you made that decision in general to place your faith in Christ, to renounce the old life, say, Lord, I'm yours, save me, Lord, and to put on, to walk in the new life that God gives you? And the second question I have for you is this a daily decision you're making? How are you doing in your daily walk? It's easy to do this on Sunday morning. But what about a Monday through Saturday? Are you making that decision to renounce, to put off the old life, be renewed, and to put on the new? Let's pray together. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this truth, the truth of your word. That your word frees us, that your word changes us, your word transforms us. Lord, I pray for us as a church. I pray that we would not be childish, fighting amongst one another, everyone thinking only of their own needs. I pray that we would grow up into Christ. I pray that we would seek to serve one another, that you would unite us closer together to one another, that we would grow closer to you, and that we would grow outward in this world, reaching people for Christ. Lord, I pray for us that we would not walk as the Gentiles do. I pray that our lives would be different. I pray that there would be a real difference between us and others, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family, that they would see that there is something different in the way that we live, the way that we talk. But Lord, we recognize that this is not from us. It's from you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the Christian life is not a philosophy, it's a person. Not principles, but a relationship. It's through you living in us, working through us, that we are changed and we are transformed. I pray if there's anyone in here that has not made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ, to put off the old life and begin to follow after the Lord. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your hearts. I pray against a heart of unbelief, a hard heart. I pray that you would soften the hearts in this room. If there's anyone in here who has not made that decision, turn to the Lord today. Soften your heart. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. and be made new. And for the rest of us who have made that decision, Lord, I pray, it's tough to walk day in and day out. But Lord, I pray you give us the strength. Renew our minds according to the truth of your word. May we make that daily decision to take off the old person who rejected you. And each and every day anew, make that decision to walk with you. You've given us a new robe of white. We are righteous and holy in your sight. May we walk in the works, the good works that you have prepared for us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.